This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Rick Sincere joins me live in studio. He is the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, and we are also joined by my brother. Bo Short is with us. It's good to see you both. Thank you for being here. You're just driving by. And
I was just driving by, and this whole topic got to me, and I figured since you were my brother, I'd pull in and say
I got to go by the radio station.
I got to talk to
so
him.
So what were you thinking as you were driving by?
Well, listen, and Rick talked about this, too, when we were sitting here. I mean, in Israel, I think they've had zero problems, and they employ a whole different technique involved with profiling and questions. I mean, they hire professionals to go into the line and ask questions, and I mean, tell them what happened.
And they have dogs too, and they're
and
not afraid
to. They have dogs, and they don't have this problem.
Yeah. As I was saying off the air, I went through Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv in early 2001. So this is pre 9/11. So I haven't experienced Israeli security since then. But what I recall is leaving the airport. You know, I was going through the security check. You know, they were checking my luggage, which was just normal. It wasn't any different than, say, going through customs.
Yeah.
But they started asking me a series of questions that seemed disjointed and irrelevant. But on reflection later, I realized that what they were doing was a psychological profile of me. You know, they asked me, what was your business in Israel? And I explained that I'd been there to have literally a business meeting with a potential client. And one of the things they asked me to do was pull out my notes from the meeting, which were not very extensive, but I did have a yellow legal pad and I had a few things scribbled on it. They looked at it and they seemed satisfied. But a lot of the other questions just seemed to be right out of the blue. But it was very clear on reflection later that what they were doing was they were trying to see what my eyes did, whether I got flushed or, you know, started twitching or whatever. But they were obviously doing a psychological profile to see whether I might be. Well, not just me, but all the other passengers might be dangerous. And what was interesting is on that trip, I flew through Heathrow in London. And I think it was just because I was going to Israel, because I've never experienced this at that airport in any other case. I was asked another series of questions. And I wasn't flying on LL either. I was flying on British Airways. And so in the London airport, they used the same kind of technique because I was going to Israel and coming from Israel.
Yeah, which, Bo, speaks to your point that the level of professionalism for their, whatever they call their TSA, is light years beyond ours.
Yeah, I mean, and with all due respect to Kentucky Fried Chicken, when you've got former Kentucky Fried Chicken employees, you know, at the airports, they're not the ones really to ask you the question, except would you like to supersize that? I mean, it's a more difficult kind of thing.
Let's go to Jay. He's on the program in Charlottesville. Jay, thanks for your call. You go right ahead.
Hi, I'd like to say that I think your idea of using the Israeli system is ridiculous. They interview every single passenger that flies in and out of an Israeli airport. People that fly into Israel are very few. There are no cross-country flights in Israel. Do we want to hire enough people, train them professionally, to interview every single passenger that gets on a flight in the United States?
Yeah,
let alone the time you're going to spend in the airport.
I get you. It's an excellent point, and maybe to a certain extent it's apples and oranges here. We've got multiple airports. They have one. We've got a whole lot more ground to cover. And they have, what, a country the size of Delaware or Rhode Island or something like that?
Well, I think it's a valid point to bring up the question of scale. Because it really would be a bigger job to do in the United States. But I think the principle of how the Israelis do this is much better because they really do the psychological profiling. And I don't think you have to interview every single passenger in order to have the effect of dissuading people from doing bad things on airplanes.
Yeah, just having the dogs walking around would have a tremendous, don't you think, a psychological tremendous effect on...
I don't think there's any doubt about that. You have dogs walking around, you have submachine guns, and, you know, you have people that are very intimidating. I mean, this is an intimidating environment, but I'd much rather have an environment where you knew they were serious about doing business than the way we're doing it right now.
Well, now here's the question for you. Do the full-body scanners, the proponents of the full-body scanners say, well, that's exactly what we're doing with these scanners? This is intimidation. This is another heightened level of security.
Yeah, but if the scanners worked properly, if the scanners really accomplished what they say they accomplished, then they wouldn't be groping people at the airports.
Well, they're groping people because those are the people who've refused to go through them.
Or something was detected in a scanner. Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not quite sure what the process is. I haven't been to an airport since they started.
The other thing that really concerns me is I've got a 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And so there's, you said it on the radio earlier. You said at 12 and under, they're not gonna pat them down. But I got a 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah, a 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girl. To me, that's still a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to pull her out of line and feel her up. And it's just, and what they do is they really do go up. They say they go up the inside of the leg to the torso, not to where somebody's uncomfortable, but to the torso.
And inside the belt line, too, is what I understand, is they'll stick their hands inside your pants.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of this stuff is so ridiculous. And this is not true just in U.S. airports, but I was flying through Paris last year, and, you know, they make you take your belt off. Well, you know, I was wearing some very loose pants, and I practically lost my shorts as I was standing in the airport. I mean,
You became an MTV rapper, didn't you?
Yeah. He was rapping that weekend.
Yeah. And this has happened. You know, this has happened at the U.S. Capitol building too, or at you know, one of the congressional office buildings, where I had to take my belt off, and you know, I'm trying to balance my jacket.
Why do you take your belt off? Because you fly all the time, Bo. What is it?
Listen, I don't take my belt off a lot. There's a lot of times I don't take it off, and they don't say anything. Then I go through another airport because I fly constantly, and they say, oh, your belt's got to come off. And I'm like, well, they didn't tell me that in Denver.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whether they're worried about something's going to be in your belt or what.
Because
it's got metal on it. A lot of times they want anything with metal removed.
977-1070 is the phone number. Are you planning to fly next week? Will you be participating in the day before Christmas opt-out? What did Eric call it? The massive non-compliance or...
I'll call it civil disobedience.
Yeah, yeah. 977-1070 is the phone number. Have you flied recently? Have you flown? Have you gone through these... these full body scanners. What are your thoughts about Rick, about how this happened? Michael Chertoff, former secretary of whatever, the security guy, who all of a sudden comes on and starts advocating for these things, and he never says, oh, by the way, I'm representing a company that's trying to sell these to the U.S. government.
And he's not the only one. Tim Carney, who writes about lobbying for the Washington Examiner, had a piece, I think, on November 12th, where he talked about a number of companies and lobbying groups that are connected to Congress and the Obama administration who worked really hard to get this adopted. And it's amazing how this is really a form of corporate welfare. It's unnecessary. But we're spending millions of dollars on this technology that
doesn't work.
Yeah, we could use dogs. We could use chemical tests to indicate whether you're carrying, you know, explosives. All of that stuff is detectable either through sniffing dogs or through chemicals that can be brushed onto your luggage. You know, I've gone through that in airports where they brush something on my luggage to see if there's any residue of gunpowder or whatever used to make explosives, and that's much less invasive than what they've adopted. They like to go for the shiny stuff, the high tech, the expensive things, because there's this sense that if it's expensive, it must be good. When sometimes low tech is much more effective and a lot less expensive and a lot better for the consumers of air travel.
The phone lines are open at 977-1070. We got 15 minutes in front of 5 o'clock. Jerry is with us in Albemarle County. Jerry, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
You are welcome. Thank you. And I'll just speak here.
Go right ahead.
I may be off the wall or so forth. However, with this... the scanning and the body search and so forth. I personally don't have an opinion on either one of them, that because I do not fly and so forth. However, I feel that somehow this has been targeted to the airplanes, to the airports and so forth.
Yeah.
That are coming in here. And the most recent was the foreign country there. They picked up on that latest incident and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, if there's anybody out there that would like to make a comment, if a terrorist wants to take out a bunch of people, they could go to one of the biggest football games, the Super Football games.
Yeah.
Or they could go to the... what do you call it? The
Yeah, I got you. I got you, Jerry. And it's an excellent point, and I think I know where you're going with that. 977-1070. You don't just have to do planes. You could go to a big football game. You could go to a big high-rise building. You could go to a hospital. And we're locking down these airports to ridiculous
mall?
A shopping mall.
And think about it. It's embarrassing, too. One of the most sophisticated countries in the world, and we're reacting to everything. We're not ahead of the curve. I mean, we're not ahead of the curve at all. I mean, we're just reacting to the last thing that happened.
Well, this was my point earlier before we broke. It reminds me of that Twilight Zone episode where the aliens come. It was called The Monsters Are Due on Maple Street. And the aliens come in, and they just cut the power to Maple Street. And then they watch people get so scared that they start killing each other. To a certain extent,
and you are a Twilight Zone expert.
I am indeed.
I remember that from your childhood.
Have the terrorists won by just dropping a few bombs and then sitting back and watching us not only devour each other through hyperbole and suspicion, but also devour our own civil liberties?
And I don't know that I'd say they've won, but I think what we're seeing now is people are standing up and they're saying, you know, this is enough. I mean, let's figure this out as big boys and girls. This is ridiculous the way we're approaching this.
Yeah, like you say, this is a reactionary situation and it's not really doing any good. Why do they make the pilots go through this security? The pilots have the biggest weapon of all in their hands.
They have the biggest weapon all in their hands. They have guns in the cockpits.
Yeah.
And axes,
and we're going to check them as they go through to make sure that
make
they're
sure
not
they
carrying anything
tweezers.
With them.
Yeah.
977-1070 is a phone number. Rick Sincere is live in studio, the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, and my brother Beau Short is also with us live on the program. What do you think about racial profiling? Is that the answer here? Because I can sort of see the argument for it, but I also know they wouldn't have gotten Timothy McVeigh that way.
No, I don't think it's so much racial profiling, psychological profiling. You have to keep your eyes open to see whether people are acting in odd ways. Now, every once in a while, you're going to catch somebody who's nervous just because they don't fly very often and they're afraid of flight. You take them aside and you ask them a few questions and you find out, well, yeah, they're okay. But if you keep your eyes open for the people who are behaving abnormally and you take somebody aside who does turn out to have a bomb or a weapon of some sort, then you've actually caught somebody. You don't have to search every single person who's going on an airplane. You just have to search enough to deter the bad guys. I mean, we don't search every single ship coming into a harbor. I mean, this is, you know, the national security establishment would like us to be able to do that.
No.
But we don't. I mean, we just search enough to make sure
It's like saying that we inspect your food and make sure it's safe. No, you don't.
They don't
look at
every single cow. No.
And we're so hung up on the racial profiling. It's not racial profiling that we have to do. I agree with Rick on this. It's not a question of racial profiling. It is psychological profiling. And somebody's 80-year-old grandmother from Alabama probably ain't the one to profile.
I think the real solution.
By the way, ain't was a technical term. I just want to share that with you.
The real solution here is to turn back airport security to the private sector like it was before 9/11. What we've got is a federal system that imposes a one-size-fits-all solution looking for a problem on every airport, whether it's Charlottesville or Dulles. When the airlines ran this, they could try different things in different places, and they could see what works. Here, we've got some central bureaucracy deciding what to do, and if it doesn't work, well, we've just wasted several billion dollars. There was a good speech on the floor of the House either this morning or yesterday by Representative Ron Paul of Texas, who's introduced a bill that would allow us to sue the gropers in the TSA because currently they're immune from lawsuits or civil prosecution for touching people's genitals. And he wants to make it clear that these people can be sued for misbehavior if they start going too far in what they're doing.
Yeah. Why wouldn't we be able to do that? Just because the government says you can't?
Because the government's given them immunity.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
It's absolutely nuts.
It's really hard to sue any member of the government. I mean, it's virtually impossible to sue a prosecuting attorney for misconduct.
And by the way, your dad played Guess the Sky Marshal when he traveled.
Did he really?
Yeah.
When he was one of the very first Sky Marshals.
He was one of the first 13 Sky Marshals. And he told me one time when he came home, he said, yeah, I sit on the plane and we have this game. Guess who the Sky Marshal is? I said, do you play? He goes, of course. I said, do you ever guess? He goes, well, I can't.
We'll be right back. Rick Sincere is live in studio, and my brother Bo is also here. So the question for you both here, and the callers at 977-1070. Rick, as you said during the break, the next time we see a bomb go off in a shopping mall, we're going to have to go through full-body scanners just to go to JCPenney's.
It seems to be the next thing on the agenda. Every time they react to something, they react in panic mode.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that we're not already required to go through this stuff to get on an Amtrak train or on city buses. I think the only reason we don't do it now is because the economy is bad and the governments don't have enough money to spend on this stuff. But once we've got some extra money or they borrow some more money, it's likely to happen.
Yeah.
And nothing's happened on an Amtrak train or on a city bus yet. But as soon as it does, there you go.
Then you have the American reaction to rush and overcompensate.
Yeah.
In total reaction instead of, like you said, getting out ahead of the problem. We just don't seem to be able to do it. And we have a system, really, that seems set up so that that almost can't happen, that it must be reactionary.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we're doing it, but we're smarter than that. I mean, we're sophisticated.
Yeah.
We're not a third world country yet.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you this before we run out of time here, and we'll continue this topic in the next hour. The full body scanners and the red light cameras in Albemarle County, for me, there's no difference. They're just they sort of scream the same phenomenon, the same thing. There's private companies coming in, contracting with the government, who are profiting off of activity on the part of citizens who are, and that profit is based on monitoring your activity in some way with cameras. To me, it's the same thing, and it's outrageous.
I think it's really interesting that the company that Michael Chertoff represents that builds these scanners is I think it's called Rapsican, which is almost an anagram for rapist can. And
I would never think of that.
I gotta tell you, I didn't go there either.
But that's where these TSA guys are going. You know, it's not going to be very long before I suppose already people are buying T-shirts and bumper stickers that say "Don't touch my junk or I'll have you arrested."
Yeah,
and somebody is making a lot of money on that slogan right now.
Well, I just want to go on
junk. I'm going to have you arrested.
Yeah,
I just want to go on record and say I haven't heard the word junk used this much in the last week that I did in my 51 years of life.
The Happy Little Friday. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock. I'm Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. And on a star-spangled night, my love. It's about 53 degrees in the city. I hope you're doing well. This is News Radio 1070 WINA. It's local talk, local issues, local radio at its very best. We do it every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. It's the home of civil disobedience in Charlottesville.
Love American style. That's me and you.
Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Join the conversation at any time. Bo Short is live in studio, my brother, and Rick Sincere, the former chairman of the Libertarian Party of Virginia, will continue our conversation about full-body scanners. If you haven't seen it, this is what he said.
But if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested. But if you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
A young man trying to get on a plane. That's all he was trying to do, and he's now being investigated by the U.S. government. Could go to jail, could face $11,000 in fines because he refused to go through a full-body scanner. He said, I don't think that my getting naked in front of some stranger, whether virtually or literally, should be a prerequisite for me getting on an airplane. What say you? 977-1070 is the phone number. And Rick, what I wanted to do was sort of pull the camera back and look at this in context with the red light cameras, a very local issue. Both of these, of course, local issues. We have people here who fly, but we also have the Albemarle County government that has signed a contract with a company in Australia to allow Australians and an Australian company to monitor us and to profit off of that video and pictures that they take of us here in our community. And like I've said many times on this program, one or two things is going to happen. People on December 12th, when these citations start getting mailed, people are going to freak. John Whitehead's going to sue, and it's going to come down, or you know, somebody's going to run against members of the Board of Supervisors and turn this into a referendum on red light cameras. Either that, or Everybody's going to moan and groan a little bit, but pay their bills and keep quiet and go about their business. And the county's going to get used to a steady revenue stream off of a broken intersection, and we're going to see more and more cameras.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In the General Assembly this spring, there's going to be a bill that will allow motorists to get a "Don't Tread on Me" license plate, and which has an irony all of its own. But I think that the spirit of "Don't Tread on Me" is spreading across the country now, not just through the Tea Parties, which is sort of focused on fiscal issues, but this whole TSA thing is lighting a fire under people who want to engage in civil disobedience. And I think the red light cameras are getting the same kind of reaction. If you talk to people around town, they are not pleased with this idea that red lights should be used as a fundraising mechanism for the county budget. And as I heard last night on the news on NBC 29, the city may also be considering this. And yeah, I don't think people are going to stand for it because they see it as just a way of enriching the military, judicial, industrial complex.
What is the financial arrangement? Do you know, does the camera company get paid first? Do they get money up front?
How does that work? They get paid first. They get the first $10,000 every month of the citations, and then the county gets the rest. So that's, they're literally taking money out of the local economy, sending up to $120,000 a year to Australia, and the rest will go out of our pockets and into the coffers of Albemarle County.
If it's really a broken intersection, wouldn't it just make more sense to hire an extra police officer and put him there?
Or fix the intersection?
Fix the intersection.
Yeah, extend the yellow
Shocker.
Lights. I mean, every engineer, traffic engineer will tell you, if you extend the yellow light time just a little bit, it doesn't have to be seconds.
What
it could
is it
be
now,
like
just a couple seconds?
I think it's like 4 seconds.
Okay.
If you extended it to like maybe 5 seconds, 6 or 7 seconds, you will watch the number of red light runners plummet, because long yellows give people more time to stop and decreases the people who run red lights. It's every traffic engineer knows this, but you can't make money if you do that.
Well, you and I know that I used to disagree with you on this initially. My initial reaction to this was, well, then don't run a red light.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of people are thinking.
That was my initial reaction. And then I started to listen to the arguments on both sides. And that's why if it's really a problem because you're worried about the intersection, if it's not a revenue issue, if you're really worried about the intersection, fix the intersection or hire a police officer.
Yeah.
And do the math on this, too. If they're expecting $10,000 per month to be the minimum payment to the company, that means they're at a $50 citation, they're anticipating 2,000 red light runners at one intersection per month.
Yeah.
Can it
minimum.
Really be that high?
Yeah, before they start making money. It can't, which is why every study shows that the way these red light companies work, these camera companies work, is they'll send citations to somebody who stopped over the white stop line, or was taking a right turn on red and didn't stop before the white stop line, which oftentimes if you're turning right on red and you stop at that white stop line, you can't see enough to actually turn. Mm-hmm. You've got to pull out a little bit so you can see to go. So otherwise safe behavior will now be ticketed and targeted, and that's what most people don't get, but they will get it when they start getting these things in the mail.
They're counting on gimmickry to get their profit.
That's exactly right, and that's why every time that this has come up for any kind of referendum or vote around the country, people vote them down because they say, hey, I don't run red lights, but I got two of these last month, you know, just because I didn't stop correctly, or I, you know, stopped too late, or I didn't take a picture-perfect right turn on red. There's a Daily Progress reporter out there the other day, and this was included in their article. They stood there and watched the camera clicking and taking pictures for somebody who was just turning right on red.
Wow.
And that is what is in store. Ivy's in Charlottesville. Ivy, what's going on?
I'm calling about the full body scanner.
Yeah.
I'm calling because I totally agree with them. I saw on TV how the little girl was afraid and cried, and I felt really sad for her and her mom. But at the same time, someone that is trying to get something here to destroy us or take our lives will use a child as well if they have to. So my heart goes out to them, you know, the family, but me and my family, we don't travel by airplane much at all. We always drive just because we're so afraid something may happen, and we have started to, and we plan to, and I talked about it with my family, my son and my husband, and we're all for it. if we can sit on a plane and feel, you know, rest assured that nobody's has a bomb and nobody's going to try to destroy us, then we're all for it. I think at this point we have to do what we have to do to protect ourselves.
What about the Ivy? What about the argument that these now? And I can understand that, but what about the argument that these scanners are actually pose a health hazard and can give you cancer?
They can, but I think at a minimum, I don't think it's going to be enough radiation to do too much harm. I feel like that. I mean, I don't know statistics.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to take the risk of my life to sit on an airplane and not have to look around and be nervous when people get up and look at everybody and is that the person? Is that the person? I want to be able to fly and be comfortable. And so what? If the person's looking at me with my clothes off, I'm not going to see them again 9 times out of 10. And if I do, so what? I mean, my life is worth more than that to me. So
Ivy,
I'll do
Ivy,
whatever.
Thanks for the call, Ivy. I appreciate it. That's Ivy in Charlottesville at 977-1070. And I think she perfectly, and I'm so glad she called, I think she perfectly encapsulates what I'm talking about. The American who is okay and used to this gradual encroachment on liberties in the name of safety.
Or look at it this way as well. I think what she's saying is what we all feel. We want to sit on an airplane and feel safe. I think all we're saying is, I don't know that that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And the fact is that whether you're talking about 10 years ago before 9/11 or 20 years ago or today, flying is the safest mode of transportation. Regardless of whether there are terrorists out there, flying is safer than driving. Flying is safer than taking a train or a bus or walking. There are fewer injuries or deaths per passenger mile if you're flying in airplanes than any other mode of transportation.
Except for this one intersection in Charlottesville where they've got a camera. I'm just saying.
Frank is with us in Charlottesville. Frank, thanks for the call, buddy. Go right ahead. Frank, you with us? Hello, Frank. Oh, we lost Frank. Let's go to Betty. And she is over at UVA. Hey, Betty, what's going on?
Well, I would just like to say that for 44 years, I lived out on Ryle Road, traveled 29 every day, going to UVA and so forth. That light, going on Ryle Road after they put the lights up at Northfields and Brook Road and so forth, every time I ever passed there was an average of 3 cars that ran every one of those lights red. Not yellow, but red. And when you get to Ryle Road and you talk about accidents, there have been more accidents at that intersection of people running red lights than I think almost anywhere else in town. And if you sit at that intersection and you look, there is car after car that runs not yellow but red every time, every day of the week.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
And, you know,
it is a problem.
If they're putting up a light to help slow down that traffic, then I'm all for it, because I've seen too many accidents and too many near accidents there.
Yeah. Betty, thank you for the call, and I appreciate it. 977-1070, it's a great point, and I agree with her, what she's saying, that this intersection is broken and that people are having a hard time getting through. So you see a lot of people, you could be the third car in line on Rio trying to get on 29, and you can't get through. Because the yellow is by the time you're the third or fourth car up, it's already yellow. So that's why we see people struggling to get through. VDOT is keeping that purposefully a short light because the priority traffic is 29. So the Rio lights are only green for just a few seconds because this is a major highway. But my point is, I don't think that the solution is cameras. Just like I don't think the solution to airline security is full body scanners.
Well, if we're going to have 2,000 infractions just to cover the cost of doing this, then the solution is not a camera, because it means people are going to still do this.
Yeah.
That's not
the
solution.
County becomes behooved when they start making money off of this.
Behooved.
They become behooved.
Behooved.
SAT
that could be
word.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. They become behooved not to fix the intersection. They will like it to stay the way it is because they're making money off of it, and they're funding the police department that way. Instead of taking armed and uniformed men and women who serve this community on the police force and putting them out there to make the intersection safer.
Listen, you put a police officer out there, no one's going to run a red light. And the first person that does, the second person won't anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's much more than just a single intersection, too. We have to do better engineering in terms of the timing of all of the lights along 29, so that people don't have to be stopping and going and stopping and going, because that's when they get frustrated and they want to run a red light. But if I recall your guest Richard Diamond on the show a few days ago, he said that there have been no accidents caused by red light running.
Yeah,
that's
the dirty little secret, and that is truly the smoking gun that proves to me that the county's not really doing this about safety, that it's about money. Because one of the cameras that's going up is actually pointed at an approach to the intersection where the county's own studies show over the last 3 years there have been zero red light running accidents. None. And yet they're putting a camera up there to stop red light running accidents. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's an Alice in Wonderland world that they're running this thing in.
Yeah. We're talking with Rick Sincere, Bo Short live in studio, and your calls at 977-1070. Peter is on the line in Greene County. Peter, what's going on?
Well, I'm calling about the scanners.
Yeah, at the airports. What do you think? You like them?
I'm wanting to know if, since all the terrorist attacks against the United States or would-be terrorist attacks against the United States have come from international flights, are the people coming to the United States having to be subjected to this, or is it just the Americans who are flying from Washington to Chicago?
Yeah, that's a terrific question. I don't know the answer to it.
We haven't had anybody getting on any planes here in the United States and trying to, other than the terrorist guys on 9/11, since then trying to do anything. It's all been coming from international flights.
I just want to say there's the brilliance of Greene County.
Yeah.
So we as American citizens are being treated like prisoners and criminals.
Yeah.
By our autonomous government officials.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. That's one John Whitehead makes many times on this program. Peter, thank you so much for the call.
And Peter, don't get mad at me about the Greene County comment. I live in Greene County.
977-1070 is the phone number. And that really is this assumption of guilt, Rick, that to me, that's exactly what the red light cameras are all about. We're going to put cameras up here because we know you're guilty. And even if you don't, we're just monitoring your behavior. A private company is taking pictures of you and archiving those pictures and profiting off of monitoring your behavior in a contract with your government.
And again, it goes back to the issue of psychological profiling. And I think every ticket agent for the airlines should be trained, at least at a minimum, of trying to identify people who are behaving in an abnormal manner so that they can be flagged before they even get to the security checkpoint. You know, I've gone through security in some very weird airports like Nairobi, Kenya, where the security line lasts forever, and they make you remove practically everything from your person. They don't do strip searches.
Well, it's very warm in Africa. That's okay.
Yeah,
right?
But you have to you go through the metal detectors, and you wonder if they're even plugged in. But you know, as far as I know, we haven't had.
They don't
any
work. There's some
terrorists.
Guy standing there going.
ding, ding, ding. I don't think there have been any terrorists who have flown across the Atlantic from places like Nairobi or Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, or any place like that. Whether the standards are lax or strict like they are in Israel, you basically have the same safety level.
Let's go to Wayne in Charlottesville. Wayne, what's going on?
Hey, Coy, great show. You have some great guests and great callers, and really enjoying it. I went to a football game at Clover Hill High School down outside of Richmond recently, where I had a little penknife in my pocket and hadn't thought about it. As I approached the gate, I was with a nephew who's a football addict, and there were, in order to get into the game, you had to submit to being scanned. And so I walked up and showed my little penknife to the man with the scanner. He said, no, you can't bring that in. So I had to return to the car and leave the knife in the car and then was scanned and got into the game.
For a high school football game?
Yeah, and all of that because someone at some point, or so I was told, at some point in the past, somebody had brought a knife and a fight broke out and someone was stabbed. And so now everyone is subjected to being scanned to get into their football game.
It's that beautiful zero tolerance we have here in America.
Yeah, and it's to Peter's point, it's an assumption of guilt. which what really bothers me is where this is leading us. Each of these things, red light cameras, the scanner, the airport scanners, all taken by themselves, you might be able to make arguments for them being positive, but the more we become accustomed to this kind of treatment, I wonder where we'll end up 10 or 20 years from now.
Yeah. So, it's a great point. Wayne, thank you.
Comment.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. Great call, and thank you so much for joining in the conversation. And that is the larger point. And we're getting I've talked about it many times on this program. We're getting kids in public schools now so accustomed and so used to being assumed to be guilty, searches. And what are they going to do? They're going to grow up and be adult citizens in this country and think that all of that is normal and that's okay. And they're going to teach their kids, no, it's all right, honey. Let the soldier look through your purse. It's okay. No, we have to go through this full body scanner to go to the grocery store. It's okay. This is what we have to do.
It's creeping Big Brotherism. It's not that far removed from 1984, where we have cameras in all of our every room in our homes, where they're trying to prevent us from committing thought crimes.
Yeah.
Thought crimes.
There you go. 977-1070 is the phone number, and Ted is in Charlottesville. Ted, what do you think?
Yeah, Corey. I don't really remember what channel it was last night, but one of the local channels did a story that if the red light camera at Rail Road is successful, the city of Charlottesville already has intersections lined up to put red light cameras up.
Yeah, they got three of them that they're thinking about doing it. Yeah, that was NBC 29's story last night. And, Ted, what do you think about that? Do you love
crazy.
It? Likey
crazy.
Or no likey?
No likey.
No likey. Here you go.
What was the Tom Cruise movie? What was the Tom Cruise movie? You talked about thought crimes. What was that movie?
Oh, I don't remember the name, but it's based on what's-his-name's short story, the famous science fiction writer.
Yeah, it was Steven Spielberg made that movie.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
The name always escapes me. You know, if the city wants to improve safety at intersections, I think one thing that would be a good place to start is installing crosswalks and walk-don't-walk signs at places like Emmett Street and Arlington Boulevard over by the Barracks Road Shopping Center, where you cannot safely cross the intersection on foot. There's all sorts of stuff they can do to make things safer without these red light cameras.
We're live in studio with your calls at 977-1070. I'm Coy Barefoot. You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now. Happy Little Friday. Let's rejoin our conversation. Bo Short is live in studio. Rick Sincere as well. And your calls at 977-1070. Let's go right to David. He's in Charlottesville. David, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah,
hey.
Good subject today. This is all over the place, which is great. But I'm just going to weigh in on the part about the airports and so forth. I think it's been proven that racial profiling works. I know, Coy, you made the comment that it wouldn't have stopped Timothy McVeigh, but there's nothing in the world that bats 1,000. But if we had used racial profiling, we would have stopped 9/11. So I'm okay with that. I think we've got to have a little thicker skin in this country about stuff like that. And if we can start doing more of that, I think it's proven we could certainly be a much greater deterrent. So that's all I had to say.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, and I am the first one to say I don't think we should let political correctness get in the way of safety. And Bo, you were saying earlier in the last hour, and you were, Rick, you were both saying that this isn't really about racial profiling. It's more about psychological profiling. And that's what the Israelis do so well at their airport.
Yeah. And I don't think we can't put our head in the sand and pretend like we don't know who wants to kill us. I mean, we know who wants to kill us. We know where most of them are from. And we've got to be cognizant of that fact and profile in that direction.
Yeah, and I think the reason psychological profiling is more important than racial or religious profiling is because the terrorist groups are smart enough to know that we're looking for Muslims and people who look like they're from Pakistan or the Middle East. So they're going to hire some guy from North Dakota with blonde hair and blue eyes to do the job for them. So you have to be looking for those psychological ticks that identify a person who has evil intent. You just can't rely simply on racial or sociological characteristics anymore. We're way past that.
Let's go to Steve in Charlottesville. Steve, what do you think about the scanners?
The scanners themselves, two points that bother me. Number one, about 2 years ago, there was a female FBI agent that went through
She was carrying a fully semi-automatic pistol with two magazines, so she had 20 or 30 rounds of ammunition, and that was fine. They let her through on that, but they wanted to confiscate a nail file from her. And she made a point, and they took it to the point where they said, either give up the nail file or we're going to arrest you, which is insane. And number two, scanning pilots, you're going to scan a pilot because he might have a nail file or an ice pick on them. They're going to be flying 100 tons of plane and fuel. And what is the pilot going to do, threaten himself with death if he doesn't crash the plane into a tower? It's just insane. And then quickly on the scanner, on
the red light camera. Yeah.
I thought the federal government and 49 states, Louisiana uses a Napoleonic code, but I thought that basic principle is you're innocent until proven guilty. And if you claim, you get a ticket and you claim, well, I wasn't driving the car, you have to prove your innocence. You're assumed to be guilty, and unless you can prove that you weren't driving the car, which I think I would think that was actionable somewhere because it violates a basic principle of law.
Yeah, it's an excellent point, Steve. You're right on target, and that's why I think everybody who gets those citations for red light cameras should give John Whitehead a call at the Rutherford Institute. He will be quite eager to represent you. And let's go is Andy? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, Andy, go right ahead.
Hey, I was just calling in to about the cameras.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how many people are aware of it, but the city of Charlottesville has already has cameras in place at almost, if not every major intersection in the city. They watch you already, so it's not like it's much of a big deal for them to like they're not watching you. They already are watching you at most of the major intersections. So Big Brother is out there. You just might not be aware of it.
Yeah, Andy, I think they don't have any red light cameras. I think what you're talking about are those things that look like cameras at the intersections, but they're actually for emergency vehicles. Rick, you know about this?
Yeah, well, it could be one of two things. There are traffic cameras out there, and as a matter of fact, I remember the night that President Obama was here, I was safely at home, and I was watching the motorcade go by through the traffic cameras that are at several intersections, but certainly not a majority of them around town, just at strategic locations so that you can know whether there's a traffic tie-up or not. But there are a lot of things that look like cameras at intersections that are actually transponders that fire trucks and ambulances can use to change the light so that they can go through a green light rather than a red light and possibly cause an accident. Yeah.
And I hear voices in my head a lot when I'm by myself. No, I'm just kidding. But let me say this. We keep talking about security on these cameras. We keep going to the point of security.
And the scanners
But
safety, security.
Yeah, but the reality is it sounds like it's not about security with these cameras in the intersections. It's about revenue for the county. And we're trying... Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you. Those are some of the voices I hear.
I think it's about revenue for the company that Michael Chertoff represented when he got these body scanners, bought millions of dollars from stimulus funding to get them bought by the American government. You know, a company paid Michael Chertoff to go on television and lobby for that the federal government should buy these machines.
Well, and listen, we grew up in Washington area. This is one of the biggest problems is you serve the country and then you sell to the country you served in this stuff. And that's...
There is a revolving door.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the natural progression is I'm going to serve you and then I'm going to become a lobbyist
and
sell
what,
to you.
This is exactly what Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, this is what they were writing about. They were terrific students of history. And they said, this will get corrupt and this is how it's going to happen. And they knew this would happen. And we have gotten to that point now where I would argue we have a country that they revolted against in the 1770s. We have something much worse than that.
Well, let's face it. I think there's a revolt in, and I don't mean a violent one at all, but I think our last election cycle we saw there are people that have said we've had enough. Now, do we sustain it is the key. Can we sustain this, regardless of your political views? Can you sustain this uprising that's happened in this country of let's take this back?
Yeah, for all the Tea Party activists who are new to politics, who voted to vote out the incumbents, they still have to keep tabs on the people they voted for.
Yeah,
to
we'll
make
see
sure
where we are in 2 years.
The things that they promised that they would do.
Right? Yeah. Let's go to Kim. She's waiting on the line. Oh, no, she's not waiting on the line. Let's go to Susan. She's in Albemarle County. Susan, what's up?
Hey. I just wanted to point out some really stupid things. First of all, regarding the airline stuff, when we had a flight scheduled for the week of 9/11, and we didn't end up getting to go, of course, because flights were grounded. But when we finally got to go in December, they were confiscating eyelash curlers. Now, there's not a thing you can do with an eyelash curler. You can't even pinch someone with it. So they went way overboard in that. And then my husband's name is Richard, and our last name is Reed. Well, Richard Reed was the name of the shoe bomber. So my husband gets pulled aside every single time because of his name. Now, he looks nothing like the shoe bomber. You know, this just really stupid things. And then my daughter did get strip searched in Israel because she was over there on a mission trip and had just been seeing a friend in Egypt. And so she fit their profile, student, backpack, the whole thing. So she got strip searched. So there is some of that elsewhere, but they just don't tend to do everybody that way.
Yeah.
And then I have a friend that had a knee replacement, and they used to wand you with the metal detector.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't. And then they would say, "Oh, it's beeping there. We'll feel around there." Well, now they don't use that. They're groping you everywhere. So I'm thinking, well, what if you had some ailment, or you're and couldn't take the radiation, or you're in an airport that doesn't have one of the scanners, and what if you had been sexually abused and have a terrible fear of that kind of thing? You know, what are you going to do? Why don't we just invent some little cubicle that everybody has to go in, and if you're carrying explosives, it'll detonate them and you'll blow up.
There you go.
then you could open up some seats for the standby people.
That's spoken like the wife of Richard Reed.
Yeah, exactly. It's just ridiculous. And the red light thing, the whole thing, we're just spinning out of control wildly here.
Yeah, I agree. Susan, thank you so much for the call. Always look forward to it. 977-1070 is the phone number.
If you touch my junk, I'm going to have you arrested.
There you go. Don't touch my junk. It's about 15 minutes in front of the hour of 6 o'clock. Let's take a quick break. 977-1070. Beau Short and Rick Sincere live in studio. Your calls at 977-1070. Let me get back to the point you were making earlier, that at the end of the day, this really isn't so much about security as it is about corporate welfare and government signing contracts with private businesses that enrich these businesses. And it's business using the power of government to monitor citizens, to profit from our activity in some way.
Yeah, it comes down. Look, I'm a major capitalist. I believe in it big time. But I also sit there and see things like this and say that's not real capitalism. That's taking advantage of people's goodwill and extracting revenue from them and not fixing their problems. And this is a county problem. In this state of the situation of the county, the red light, fix the problem. It's not about taking money from the people. Keep the money in our local economy.
Yeah,
that's another reason why I think that the ultimate solution of this is to spin off the airport security to private businesses, or have it localized so that local governments or local businesses running airports and running airlines can decide what kind of security technology they want to use, because that way it's not a matter of glad handing, it's not a matter of lobbying, it's a matter of creating a product that works better than the other guy's product, building a better mousetrap. And then you have to sell yourself to dozens, if not hundreds, of different consumers rather than a centralized government agency that's going to have a sole source contract and say, we just want to buy the stuff that Michael Chertoff recommends. You want to let 1,000 flowers bloom, essentially.
Yeah. And when's the last time the government did anything on this kind of scale that actually works? How's that Amtrak working for you?
Yeah. And the post office lost $8.5 billion
yeah,
last year.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that. Why do we tolerate that? I don't understand why we tolerate that. And David Swanson, who's been on this program many times, his most recent book is War is a Lie. It's just been released. His whole point is Americans are so cowed and so afraid and so intimidated by corporate powers and government powers and police that we're going to be the last people in the world to revolt, even peacefully. Because we are the people that say, just home to work, home to work, home to work. Just keep mind your own business. Don't get involved over there. Don't worry about it. I'll do what you tell me to do.
Well, here's the thing. I would rather trust Southwest Airlines, Continental Airlines, Delta Airlines to come up with security because they have a business to protect. They mm-hmm. You have one problem on a Southwest Airlines jet from their lack of security. People ain't flying Southwest. By the way, that's a Greene County term, ain't. People aren't flying Southwest Airlines anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the last time you heard of anybody flying on AirTran? you know, they had one bad crash and they had to go out of business, or at least they changed their name. You know, what you were saying, Coy, about you know, people being cowed by a government, that's why it's great that we have organizations like the Rutherford Institute here in Charlottesville, Albemarle County, the Institute for Justice in D.C. and Arizona, who are fighting the powers that be. They're going in and using the legal system to oppose government intrusions into our private lives and government regulations that prevent people from making an honest living.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, as long as we have organizations like that, we have some glimmer of hope against this this leviathan the government has become.
I want to pull the camera as far back as I can here and just say that we hear, because I agree with John Stewart. I don't think the problem is right or left. I think it really is about corruption versus not corruption. It's about the people in this country who want the system to work as well as it can for everybody, and they know that what the founding fathers created in the 18th century can really work. And it's about the other people who want to corrupt it and want to benefit themselves personally, financially, off of a broken system. And to me, the red light camera is so symbolic of that. It's a broken intersection, and the government has chosen to sign a contract with a private company, and they'll both profit from it. But I think the folks on the right who complain about, oh, this government is so full of socialists who want to take over America and get rid of my freedoms, and I have to – it's all about big government and getting in my business. And the folks on the left who say we are in a police and corporate state, corporations have corrupted government. I think in my heart that both sides are absolutely correct. I do think it is – the problem is the government. It is a corporate state, and they are working together. The left and the right should be totally united on this part because they are both correct.
Yeah,
the system is broken, and it is corrupt. They just are looking at just two different aspects of the corruption.
Well, and you look at all this stuff, and you see what they're doing. When you look at the stoplights and all this kind of mess, and when you talk about the government, you know, instead of worrying about putting cameras at stoplights, why don't you put people on borders to protect our borders? I mean, do me a favor there. Just do what you're supposed to do and keep us safe on our border and not worry about putting a camera in an intersection. But I agree with you. It's just corruption.
Yeah, it's larger than just the red light cameras or speed cameras or whatever. It's the whole idea that technology can solve a problem that people can better solve. There's nothing more effective in preventing crime than having a cop on the beat, on foot, not in a cruiser, but walking through a neighborhood and being familiar with the people who live there. I mean, James Wilson has written about this, and he's a sociologist, a conservative sociologist, but you know, he started writing about this 30 years ago, and it's one of the things that New York City has done to improve its security situation, its crime situation. You know, for years, they were relying on technology to solve problems, and the city was going to hell, and you know, 20 years ago, they decided, well, let's try this broken window effect, and they started dealing with things on the personal level.
Yeah.
And New York's one of the safest cities in the country now.
Yeah. Taking down the graffiti right when it went up. Yeah.
Well, but that goes back to what we were saying a little while ago. Put a cop at the intersection. And if you do write 2,000 tickets, not a penny will go out of our local economy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a penny.
Yeah. It's just amazing that they absolutely depend now. This is the part that just angers me. The county is sitting back. The staff and the board of supervisors are sitting back saying, boy, it's a good thing we got a problem intersection because we're going to make so much money off of it. And you have a company in Sydney, Australia that is going to make money off of the fact that we have a broken intersection, that the yellow lights are too short, the green lights are too short. People are fighting to get through that intersection. That's why they're running red lights, because I'm third in line and I can't get a green light. I've got to wait through a whole nother cycle.
Have you had anybody from the county here? Will anybody sit down with you from the county and defend this position?
I got a wonderful email from Dwayne Snow, who replied to my email. In fact, I just saw Dwayne Snow today and talked briefly with him. And he said that he's all for it because it's a matter of safety and that he's willing to review it after a year. Well, after a year, if the Rutherford Institute and the angry citizens haven't gotten rid of it, they're going to be making millions off of this, moving millions of dollars out of the local economy and into the coffers of Albemarle County.
But that comes back to everything we're saying. It's not all about safety. With all due respect to Mr. Snow, it's not about safety. If it was about safety, you can solve the problem so much easier with a cop sitting at the intersection writing tickets if you
want to. And ultimately, the safest thing you could do is to build an overpass. But people seem to conveniently overlook that because the Chamber of Commerce doesn't want overpasses on 29. They like the gridlock because it's good for business. But that is the ultimate fix, is an overpass. Then you don't even have a light.
And how much revenue do they project will be raised within the year before they review it?
I don't know if they projected it, but it could very quickly pay for an overpass.
But you know they've projected it.
Well, the company has, probably privately to the
sure they have.
To the counties, yeah.
You couldn't use the revenue from the cameras to build an overpass because according to the Virginia Constitution, money from traffic tickets has to go to the literary fund.
Yeah, except for this money, it's not a traffic ticket legally, so it's going to the police department in Albemarle County.
Ah.
That's how they're getting around it, even though it clearly violates the Constitution.
It's not a traffic ticket.
No.
What is
they're
it?
They're not even going to notify the DMV about it. It's a civil fine.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Welcome to America. Talk about
splitting hairs.
That's exactly why it's so shameful that this isn't in Washington. This is right here in Charlottesville, in Albemarle County. Yeah. They're doing this to you. It's just
civil
amazing.
Fine.
It's a civil fine. Yeah. Let's go to the phones and let me see. We have Millie is in Scottsville. Millie, you with me?
Yes, sir.
You go right ahead, darling.
If they don't make the $10,000 in fines, how is Albemarle County going to pay the Australian company?
They don't have to pay them anything. The company gladly and willingly puts up the cameras for free, knowing they're going to make a ton of money.
Well, they still have to pay rent, don't they?
No. The company gets the first $10,000, and Albemarle County gets everything over that.
What if they don't make $10,000?
Well, that's what we have to ensure. That's why everybody who gets a citation needs to call the Rutherford Institute.
We want them to put their tail between their legs and run away.
Yeah, that's it.
No. We aren't paying some other country $10,000 when we could use $10,000 in Albemarle County.
Well, then you need to tell that to the Board of Supervisors because they have signed a contract that will send up to $120,000, up to $10,000 a month to Australia. That's exactly what's happening. Last call, Miles is in Charlottesville. Miles, go right ahead.
Hey, Coy. Hey. I agree with everybody everybody on the panel that the red light cameras are ridiculous. And I'm half facetious, half serious when I say that we could solve a lot of the problems with these troubled intersections if people would go when the light is green. I don't know how many times I've been stuck behind cars. Somebody's talking on their cell phone. They're looking out the window. You know, and I don't know obviously you can't enforce that, except maybe perhaps prohibiting cell phone and texting in the car. But if people paid attention and got where they were going, you could get 5-10 more cars on every cycle of the light.
Yeah, I totally agree, Miles. It's a fantastic point. Bo, real quick.
Well, that's the next civil fine. Not moving on green.
Yeah, and we'll get
it's not a traffic ticket. It's civil fine.
Maybe we'll get an Ecuadorian company to put a cameras and monitor that. It's like if you don't go right away, then they can get a bunch of money off of it. Rick Sincere, Bo Short, thank you both so much for being here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.